The text for our sermon this morning comes from the gospel reading, the gospel for Palm Sunday, as we hear Jesus coming into Jerusalem. But also, we're going to let Zechariah the prophet instruct us and teach us today about what it meant. Because remember, this is Zechariah was all that, it wasn't all, but all of the people in Jerusalem, the Jews who knew their scriptures, the disciples, Zechariah 9 is all they had. That was the commentary. That was preparing them all for Jesus coming into Jerusalem. So today we hear Zechariah chapter 9 with that in mind. And it sort of maybe perhaps explains to us why everyone was confused that morning. We hear from Zechariah chapter 9. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he will speak peace to the nations. Today, Jesus speaks peace to you. So may God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Jesus goes to the cross to speak peace to you. So we're hearing from Zechariah chapter 9 today to sort of put us in the place of the disciples and the Jews. Now, the disciples had Jesus' teachings. They had been learning from him for a number of years. They had a little bit more to go on than just Zechariah 9. But Zechariah 9 is really the passage that clears things up for us. Not only Zechariah 9, but we might say all of the Old Testament was really a commentary on what was about to unfold in Jerusalem that day. And in particular, one part of the Old Testament that it really sounded like to me was the story of Jonah. We hear today that Jesus intentionally goes into Jerusalem, and that reminded me of Jonah, that stubborn prophet who refused to go to Nineveh. God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, nah, no thanks. I'm going to go to Tarshish. I'm going to get as far away as I possibly can. It's not until the end of the book of Jonah that we hear why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Jonah said, God, I know you're gracious. I know you're merciful. And I did not want the Ninevites to receive your mercy. The Ninevites were Assyrians, and God's people hated the Assyrians. Jonah did not like the Ninevites. And who could blame him? They were a wicked people. Jonah didn't want to die to his pride. Jonah didn't want to die to his hatred. Why should he suffer for these wicked people? Let him die. Contrast that today on Palm Sunday. We hear of another prophet in Jesus who is sent to Jerusalem. We hear of Jesus going to Jerusalem because the Father has sent him on a mission. The Father has sent him to go to a people who are wicked, who would rather not hear the word of God. They'd rather be distracted with other things in life. Jesus is sent to Jerusalem and he goes knowing that he's going to die. Jonah's life wasn't in danger. God didn't tell him, hey, when you go to Ninevite, they're going to crucify you, or even that they're going to give you a hard time. In fact, Jonah's sermon is one of the shortest sermons in all of Scripture. It sounds actually kind of easy as a pastor. Jonah said just like 5 words and the whole city repented and believed. Jesus, though, knows that almost every step of the way, he's going to be met with resistance. Even his own disciples. And yet the love of Jesus for us, my dear friends, the love of Jesus going to Jerusalem, knowing he would suffer and die. And the author to Hebrews says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Think about that love, that mercy. Jesus knew exactly what would happen to himself, not just the embarrassment, not just an inconvenient trip, but Jesus knew what it meant when he would enter into Jerusalem that day. He knew it would lead to his arrest. He knew that going to Jerusalem meant that lies would be told about him as they put him on some kind of trial. They knew, Jesus knew that the whip would be raised, the lies would be shouted. He knew that he would endure pain beyond measure and suffering. And not just the physical suffering and the anguish, not the embarrassment, not the spitting and the laughing and the scorn, but also consider that Jesus knew that the Father would hand him over. And what had he done? But Jesus, he went anyway. He went so that he could save us. And everyone that day was confused. Did you notice that in our gospel reading? Everyone but Jesus was confused. Our reading from Zechariah, it lays clear what's going to happen. The king will come in humility on a donkey. He would come with righteousness and salvation. Then it says he will cut off Ephraim. He'll cut off the war horse of Jerusalem. He will speak peace. And then notice also in Zechariah that verse that says he will confirm the blood covenant. It's no wonder the disciples were confused that day. First, we consider the confusion of the disciples. The disciples, we are told specifically in the gospel reading, it says they didn't understand what was happening to him. What did they not understand? It appears they didn't understand how Jesus could be welcomed like a king on that day he enters in Jerusalem. And yet, the whole time Jesus kept telling them, when I go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be rejected, arrested, and crucified. But this scene in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday didn't look like a man was going to be beaten and crucified. It looked maybe kind of like things were going okay. Look at all these people, palm branches, shouting Hosanna to the Son of David. It was kind of contrary to the disciples' expectations. Kind of sounds contrary even to Zechariah chapter 9. The disciples had been worried about Jerusalem for a while because they listened to Jesus preaching. They understood that bad things were going to happen there. In fact, they tried to tell Jesus not to go to Jerusalem. One chapter earlier, chapter 11, Jesus and his disciples are going to Bethany. They're in Bethany. That's where Lazarus was raised. And as Jesus says, let's go to Bethany, Bethany is only a couple of miles from Jerusalem. And Thomas says, Bethany? Whoa. That's a little close to Jerusalem. And Thomas says that famous line, let's go with him so that we may die too. It's kind of a perplexing statement, but Thomas knows that there's danger in Jerusalem. Thomas was like Jonah. And maybe he's trying to convince Jesus to be another Jonah. He knew what would happen and wanted to avoid it, but Jesus is not confused. Jesus knew what would happen and he continued to go. He went. Zechariah 9 helps us understand that as he's going to Jerusalem, he's not there to conquer Jerusalem in military might. Zechariah 9 says he's going to destroy the war horse, cut it off. Jesus isn't coming to defeat any earthly force. He comes in humility on a donkey, not a stallion prepared for battle. How can Jesus, as he's coming into Jerusalem, how can he How can he accomplish war and battle on a donkey? It makes no sense. Not only the disciples, but the Pharisees also warn Jesus. As Jesus is setting his sight on Jerusalem, the Pharisees, they say, "Hey, Jesus, stay away. Herod's trying to kill you." And that's when Jesus has that saying. He says, "Will you tell that fox? I will be about my business." The Pharisees thought Jesus should be like Jonah. Play it safe. Don't come to Jerusalem. Avoid suffering. Luke tells us that even the Pharisees, when they're standing around here on Palm Sunday and they hear the people proclaiming this, they said, "Jesus, tell your disciples to stop saying these things." Jesus replied, "If they were silent, the stones would cry out." Everyone wanted Jesus to be another Jonah. Turn away, don't go. The Jews, we are told today, even as they heard what's happening, they see what's going on. Jesus preaches his death, and the Jews said later on in our gospel reading, they said, "How can you say that the Christ will reign forever? We know that the Son of Man must be lifted up. Who is this Son of Man?" They said, "It makes no sense for our king to die. If you die, you don't remain forever. You're dead." But this is precisely what Jesus knew, that death was necessary. He knew that by dying, he would reign forever, and so would we. God is the one speaking in Zechariah. He makes a lot of promises for what he will do, but there's one promise that sort of holds it all together. He speaks of cutting off the chariot from Ephraim, the war horse from Jerusalem. But then verse 11 says how it would be accomplished. "Because of the blood of my covenant with you." How would God, who is spirit, bleed? How is a blood covenant accomplished? This is the answer to their question when they say, "How can the Son of Man be lifted up? That doesn't make any sense. If he dies, there is no victory." Jesus says, "No, but if God becomes man." What if God bleeds? What if God comes and takes all the attacks of the devil in the world, and by dying he wins? That's a little different. Everyone was confused, but Jesus knew. And this is one comforting aspect about our reading today, friends. So when you don't know how life is going to work out, when you might face confusing times, that isn't going to keep Jesus from speaking peace to you. When you don't know how life is going to work out, when it appears as if nothing good can come from sickness, or maybe money is tight, when it appears as though everything is confusing, Jesus is with you. When it looks like everybody around you is a Ninevite, when it looks like everyone is against you, you can't get ahead, one step forward and two steps back, Jesus is never confused. He knows exactly what he's doing for you. He knows the time. He knows even when a hair falls from your head. Or maybe you look in the mirror. Maybe you see your sins and they seem so heavy and so deep. Maybe you look in the Ninevite and you think of yourself as the Ninevite. Who am I? Who am I that my Lord should do this? When there's a lot of unknown things, Jesus knows. He knows his love and his care for you. We tend to be frightened. We tend to be timid when it comes to the unknown, when we've got maybe some big things coming in our life and we just don't know. Or even when relationships are on the rocks with friends or family, when it seems confusing, when Christ gently and lovingly directs you to die to your pride and pick up your cross. Take heart. Look at today's reading where everybody's confused, but Jesus, it will not keep him from accomplishing what is necessary and what is good. And he will also do that with you. Jesus knew what would happen in Jerusalem, and he shows his love that he's even willing to die when he knows that's what's going to happen. He would rather die than let the doubts and the unknown haunt you. Jesus knew what would happen. He went straight into Jerusalem, straight to his cross. He did this so that he can speak peace to you, Zechariah says. To forgive you. Yeah, to forgive you when you doubt. To forgive you when you worry. To forgive you when we aren't even threatened with death. We aren't even facing dangerous times in our lives like Christians in other parts of the world. We worry. We think our problems are so big, and they are supposed to be, right? Our suffering is intentionally to be a cross. But even when we aren't threatened with death and we worry, when we don't see how humility can win the day, when we disagree with someone, Jesus forgives you when you're scared. When you would rather not be humble, as we hear in Philippians 2, to be humble as Christ was, Jesus was humble enough to die to forgive you. We find it difficult to be charitable with people we don't like. Maybe we are more like Jonah. But you can trust Jesus. We aren't asked to go and to preach to people like Nineveh, but we are called to share the gospel with others. We are called to look for opportunities to share this merciful and kind love of Jesus. But many times, maybe you'd rather be swallowed by a whale rather than talk about Jesus in a hostile culture. Or even the thought of living our lives so that people would know we're Christians by our love, a life of humility. Well, be reminded that you have a faithful Jonah, a Jesus. Jesus who was swallowed up by all of our fears, all of our sins, but it didn't keep him dead. He was raised from the dead. Jesus took our flesh upon himself so that he could die for our sins in our place. He was never confused. He knew exactly what it was, and he did it. Because of the blood of my covenant, Zechariah says. And think about this even further. Jesus gives us his blood of the covenant to drink in his holy sacrament. He gives us his flesh to eat so that he may forgive us and encourage us in real time. Because we can't go back to Jerusalem. We can't grab palm branches and be there on that day to even though we might be confused, to see our Lord in person who isn't confused but knows exactly what is necessary. We can't go back there to do that. But just as Jesus went into Jerusalem, so he still comes among us. It might be confusing. It might be hard to understand at times. But by faith, we confess our Lord is always with us. Jesus endured the scorn of the cross to be raised so he could give you this very body and blood of the covenant. Jesus is not afraid, my friends. Jesus is not confused. Jesus is not afraid to do what's necessary for you to find peace. He comes on a donkey because he's not at war with you. He's not at war with us. He's a faithful Jonah. And he was swallowed by the grave for 3 days that his Holy Spirit would be sent to us to grant us faith by hearing his word. He was spit out of the grave because death could not hold him, so that you too can be encouraged. That as we repent and confess our sins, we trust in Jesus, the unknown, even death itself, cannot hold you, cannot keep you. So as we prepare this week for the week of weeks, for the day of days for Christians, as we look forward to Easter this week, go forth in faith. Stay in your Lenten fasts. Remain faithful. Increase your prayers as we look forward to that day when Jesus, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. We confess our sins to one another so that we may have peace, not only with God, but with one another and even our enemies. And may that peace, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.